Good evening, everybody. It is Sunday, July the 14th, 2024. This is the Fakeologist Show. Welcome to the show. And we were off for a week. Now we're back with a vengeance. We did an audio chat this morning. Started at 5 a.m. Eastern time and ended at about 12, 1 or 2 p.m. So it's about 7, 8 hours. Make sure you tune in. We had a lot of the Australians on here. It's FAC 1434. Of course, it's about the Trump assassination hoax. That's what everyone's talking about. We'll all be talking about that, I guess, for quite a long time. And I decided to do a show tonight and not be lazy because it is summer and I'm feeling really lazy. It's hot here in Toronto. And I thought I'd get the two regulars of Fakeologists that we talk to on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and bring them back here, two of the leading Fakeologists that I like to talk to on a weekly basis. So we brought them back on a Sunday night because this is going to be all Trumpy talk all the time. So welcome to Fake Nukes Phil and welcome to Lynn Ertel.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, FakeLTube. And how you doing, Lynn? Good to be here. Good to see you.
Hey, Phil. You know, sometimes it's good to be a little bit lazy about these things because,
yeah,
you know, we don't want to be like these all these Chicken Littles running around that get triggered by these performances, movies, little movies made for TV news. You do kind of want to have a bit of detachment about it since we know it's probably fake. We're auto hoaxers after all. And that defines somewhat emotionally detached point of view. Although I have to admit, like Phil, I'm increasingly disgusted and nauseated by the willingness of so many of my fellow Americans and fellow human beings even to participate in these massive hoaxes and knowingly and deliberately to participate in them, usually for just a little bit of money. Sometimes, yeah. Obviously, if they're celebrities, they've got to do it because the pressure is on. If they're sports heroes or rock stars or Hollywood movie stars, they got to do what they're told because that's part of the game. It's all the little people out there, the ones that comprise the so-called cast of thousands that I've always talked about as essential to make a big budget Hollywood spectacular, every one of whom has to sign an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement. And if you look at the production of huge movie spectacles, I mean, where the studios announce a year in advance, we're getting ready to make this movie. And they did that with epics like Cleopatra or the one that Rock Hudson and Elizabeth Taylor do with James Dean, a giant based on, I guess, Edna Ferber's novel, Giant, where they moved into this tiny town called Marfa, Texas, and took over the town and basically made the movie right there in that town using all the local residents as extras and probably paying them. And we found something similar in the case of East Palestine, Ohio, where some of the residents had been part of the cast and crew, cast of the White Noise movie, which is a terrible movie. Mm-hmm. But increasingly, I look on these events as movies,
yeah,
and I look at all the logistics, the financing, the scripting, the rehearsal, the costumes, the special effects, especially the special effects, as falling into the category of making a movie. It is exactly like making a movie. And that's why you never really know. You see that those famous pictures of David Wheeler.
Who's that?
Who we were told was one of the Sandy Hook parents. And you see him on one hand as a grieving parent, allegedly. And then you also see him wearing that helmet, looking like some kind of SWAT team guy from the FBI. Yeah. And you realize it's the same actor. You wonder how many of these alleged cops and Secret Service agents are really just crisis actors, or whether, in fact, the Secret Service and the cops have all become actors, which means they've all become prostitutes, which is what my... Yeah. thinking on this is.
I think the Secret Service is neck deep in it. And I just uploaded a video this morning about the Reagan assassination attempt back in 1981. And in that show, James Brady was fully conscious the entire time. He was lifting his head he was talking to the people above him. After about 8 minutes, James Brady gets up on his own power and just walks away. James Brady was never taken away on a stretcher. We were told that a bullet exploded in his skull. But James Brady just laid there with a small packet of blood under his forehead. And the Secret Service guys were all like playing cowboys and Indians. They were like holding their guns like they were playing like the Alamo or something. And it was so obvious that the Secret Service was totally in on the hoax. And they are. They're a production. And that means the Secret Service was also in on the JFK assassination.
Yeah.
Because the Reagan thing happened only 18 years after the JFK. You know, that was the darkest day of the Secret Service, right, when JFK got assassinated. Well, so why 18 years later would the Secret Service participate in this hoax with James Brady? Is because, well, because that's what the Secret Service does. They perpetrate the hoax. They're a production company.
Yeah.
And there's James Brady with the small little that's the only blood that was ever. See, he's.
By the way, that's better blood than they showed today or yesterday.
Yeah, it is.
It's the right color. It's a little darker. Everything looks good. By the way, if that much blood was pouring out of your head, I don't think you'd be moving.
Well, it's a small amount of blood, and he's lifted. We were told the bullet exploded. We all saw James Brady's scar, and he was in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And so what you're looking at right there is a stunt double. That's James Brady's stunt double. And the real James Brady had some kind of aneurysm or some kind of tumor that was removed from his forehead. And that's why. And so he was the real James. But this guy played the stunt double on the day of the shooting, and they just got a fake shooting out of it. And, you know,
okay, before we go any further, I just want to make it clear to everyone here. This is the Fakeologist Show. My opinion of the Trump event yesterday, it was a completely staged fake event. And I'll go as far as saying it may have even been a closed set. We don't know who mm-hmm. was there in this tiny little town north of Pittsburgh called Butler. So we don't know if it was even a real event, or maybe it was, maybe there were two events, one the staged event and one the real event. We don't know how they did this, but we do know that we all of us here believe it was a phony staged event, I think. So can we go around the room and just say that to everyone here and get what they think? Lynn?
Yeah, I just shared my screen.
Yep, I'm showing it now.
Right. When I heard Butler, Pennsylvania mentioned,
right,
I have to tell you, well, what immediately popped into my head. Because I've driven through that section of Western Pennsylvania. When I went through it in the 70s, it was early 1970s, it was very rural.
Right.
That happens to be the location, a favorite location, for making a series of movies. And that's where the original Night of the Living Dead by George Romero, the classic film from 1968, I guess it was made, 67 or 68, was filmed right there in Butler County, in Butler, Pennsylvania. And I went and started looking, and sure enough, that's a favorite location for making horror films. They've got some like old houses that look like haunted houses. And
nice.
So when you talk about a movie production company, that would be the place in Western Pennsylvania you'd go if you were going to stage something like this. Let's say that this whole Trump rally was really just some kind of movie. And maybe it had some real components. They had to hire a cast and a crew, but maybe it also had some digital components, like some green screen.
The guys behind them might have been green screen.
Right, and they add that in afterwards before they blast it out over the news. But I just want to remind people, Butler County, Pennsylvania is probably the one place in Western Pennsylvania you'd go to if you were going to make a movie, and I'll bet there's plenty of residents there that have been extras.
And let's say we cannot interview any of these people that were there. There's no way to verify any of this. We can't verify anyone who may have been on the soundstage, or maybe there was a parallel real event where he was really there. They made some bang, bang, bangs. Maybe the video was shot at a somehow a different time, and then it was just portrayed as real.
With January 6th.
Right. That was a hybrid event, wasn't it?
Yeah, there were whole chunks of video that clearly had been pre-recorded
right.
in advance of the event itself, and they probably weren't even recorded at the Capitol, but were recorded at some, as you say, a soundstage
yeah.
that had been set up to look like the Capitol. So they can do that.
They hybridize very things. Easily. It's a hybrid. That's what makes it even more tough to decode and figure out. But Phil, do you think this at all, the Trump event, was in any way real in the sense, was he really shot at?
Oh, no. He was not real. No, not a single bullet was fired. No.
Okay. Because yeah. there's a lot of confusion about the fakery part of this. So because Trump has so abused the word fake, then there's a lot of people saying Trump staged the event. He staged it. So there's a lot of different versions, but I think we all here will go with the version that all of this is stagecraft. Trump is in on it. He's not the one that designs these events. Him and Biden are all on the in the same traveling movie troupe. They all work together. It's all stagecraft. So this is not a Trump invention. He's not faking this event for his benefit.
But he's a critical player.
Yeah.
Let's not minimize his role in this.
Mm-hmm.
He's been doing this his whole life.
Right.
We've all seen that video of him with Vince McMahon.
He's
right?
a lifetime actor. Yeah. The WWE. So, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So just because he's acting and he's starring in this play, whether he participated in writing the script or setting up the special effects is kind of irrelevant to me. Because he's as guilty as hell
yeah.
for deceiving the American people with this kind of trauma-based mind control. And
yep.
gaslighting.
Yep.
They released a photo of the actual bullet in the air. Now, I kid you not, I saw it on ABC News today. It shows a streak by Donald Trump's head, and they say that they caught the bullet as it was flying by Donald Trump's head. I said, oh, my God, I've never seen this in my life. They're actually, with a straight face, telling us that they caught the bullet in mid-flight as it was going by. They caught it on camera.
Just like Bugs Bunny Roadrunner Hour.
We always see the hijacker's passport.
We always see the bullets with Bugs Bunny can, or the coyote or the roadrunner can stop the bullet in the middle of the air. So we're talking about cartoon hoaxery is what you're saying. Yeah, it's impossible.
Yeah.
The only way I've ever seen a bullet get caught in midair is when they use high speed photography with a high speed strobe light.
Yeah,
you have to know what's coming. You have to be expecting it.
Yeah, it requires an elaborate system.
And you need about 1,000 frames per second, maybe more.
Yeah.
Well, Phil pointed this out about some of these alleged bombings in Gaza. How is it that the camera always happens to be positioned perfectly and ready for that instantaneous fragment of a second, when the explosion occurs?
Dozens, even hundreds of videos of cameras pointed at the target as before the explosion happens, and they've really done it way too many times, and it's.
So, is this the first staged assassination since 1981? Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, this is the first presidential assassination attempt since 1981. Yes.
Well, I want to caveat that because. Okay. I think what a lot of people have forgotten about is two other assassinations that have concerned me, and I'd actually like Phil to take a look at one of them. The first was the assassination of Anwar Sadat, allegedly by religious fanatics from the Muslim Brotherhood.
Right.
Yeah, following I've heard that one was fake.
What year was that? Was that before or after?
70.
So that was before Reagan. I'm talking about President. Yeah.
Yeah, before, and the other one, which would be after Reagan, was the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I'm raising that is because I was very much reading material coming out by the late Israeli journalist Barry Chamish, Chamish.
He's dead now?
I believe he's... Turn Phil on. I can't hear Phil.
No, this is Phil's. This is Phil's movie or video. Phil is everywhere. I'm playing his video. He's really here. Phil is live and recorded.
I was comparing the Reagan assassination to the Trump assassination, and how both were fake. Yeah.
But Hamish insisted that Rabin, in order to pump up enthusiasm for his campaign, because a lot of this is timing. I want everybody to recognize and acknowledge the fact that this event was staged 2 days before the beginning of the biggest Republican presidential event of the year, their national convention in Milwaukee. The timing of that cannot be any accident. Mm-hmm. But what happened in the case of Yitzhak Rabin, and maybe we should set aside another hour at another time to discuss this.
Well, we could do it Tuesday. Yeah, Phil is welcome back Tuesday as well.
Yeah, Tuesday's my dinner with dad night. I know I can't make it on Tuesdays.
No, we could do it tomorrow, too, if you want.
Well, I want Phil to take a look at it because Rabin's wife, Leah, was very, very bitter. And Barry Chamish, whatever, his theory was that the Rabin campaign team had set up a fake assassination attempt, which is a standard operating procedure to rally people around the candidate. Somehow the team involved in staging this fake assassination attempt had managed to get a real bullet in the chamber of the pistol used by the alleged assassin, a right-wing, a Zionist extremist. And therefore, Barry Chamish argued that Rabin, that in an effort to stage a fake assassination, accidentally, Rabin had been shot with a real bullet. Kind of sounds like an Alec Baldwin, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sounds like a Rust scene.
We also might see a scenario where we might see a fake.
All right, sorry. I'm just playing Jake Gibson as
well. Yeah, play him. He's really good on this.
All right.
We also might see a scenario where we might see a fake assassination attempt.
Take a look at what happened.
So the reason why I made a prediction that there would be a fake assassination attempt on...
By the way, was it such a hard prediction? We've been hearing about this for years and years and years. Have we not?
Yeah, they did this play, and what was this, the Central Park in New York?
Yes.
Where it was, they killed Trump in effigy, or it was like a different character, but it was supposed to be
with
Trump.
With orange hair, so yeah.
Yeah, with the orange hair. Yeah, so it has been on the tip of people's minds, and so it wasn't really that far out. I was thinking they were going to do a fake assassination on Biden because it's the Trump supporters they want to paint as crazed. But, you know, they ended up saying that this guy who shot Trump was himself a Trump supporter. And so it's like, that doesn't make any sense. But they're getting away with it. Because a nice, polite Democrat would never shoot Trump. It has to be one of Trump's own people that did it. And so they're getting away with that again. And, you know, but either way, they're going to blame it on a Trump supporter, whether it be Biden or Trump, they're going to blame it on a Trump supporter. So,
well, the other question is, are they going to manage to get all these big, tough MAGA Republicans to suddenly support gun control and red flag laws? Because here's what's the agenda driving this. And I've seen this on the part of many Trump supporters who are making videos about this event. But they think it was real, yet it was staged. They're kind of stuck in the middle there. And one of the things that they're pointing out is the media is hammering home this idea of the lone nut, the lone wolf fanatic, the lone wolf assassin, the crazed lone nut. They're not calling it a conspiracy, see? Even though we've had a couple people, Trumpers, who were there at the rally, probably crisis actors, insisting that they saw a second gunman. That there was more than one person shooting. But the media narrative always is a lone nut, a lone nut, a lone nut.
Yeah.
And that's important. That's very important to them, because if they were to concede a larger conspiracy, well, then all kinds of that opens the door to all kinds of speculation, doesn't it? But as long as they can keep it fixated on that lone nut, who, by the way, is conveniently dead, right?
Right, as usual.
Mm-hmm. The lone nut patsy. They're advancing their agenda, and the agenda is total control over the discourse. After all, what's really going on here? They're going to say that, since you raised the question of motivation, they're going to say that this lone nut was motivated by all these terrible things on social media, and therefore we've got to control the content so it doesn't trigger more of these lone wolf assassins to commit their crazy acts. That's the core narrative here, the dangerous lone nut, triggered by crazy conspiracy theories on social media. And clearly our number one priority has to be someone in a position of authority, preferably your government or your corporations, to purge social media of these conspiratorial ideas, these ideas that are triggering these lone wolf assassins. That's really the narrative that's being pushed here. And that can be easily disrupted. Remember the Sandy Hook hoax, when that was conducted. Initially, someone said, I saw another gunman running into the woods. Now, of course, that really, one of the things that does is that gives the sort of first grade conspiracy theorists another rabbit hole to plunge down, mm-hmm. looking for a conspiracy, when really it's just a hoax. And the whole question is, who do they blame it on? Do they blame it on a group, which would mean a conspiracy? So there'd have to be a lot more people involved. And that opens the door to all kinds of larger questions. It's a lot better for them to say, oh, no, just this one guy, just this lone nut. We killed him. Don't need a trial. It's all explained away. Of course, in the case of JFK, they told us Oswald was a lone nut. But then they had another lone nut who they pulled out of their pocket, Jacob Rubenstein, Jack Ruby, who they set up to assassinate the patsy, Lee Harvey Oswald. So there they expected us to believe that one lone nut killed the president, and then another lone nut strode into the police garage on camera live and killed the assassin. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of stupid, childish narratives they're passing off. Wouldn't even pass muster as a B-grade Hollywood script. It's all about suppressing and censoring social media to stop triggering these lone wolves that are out there by the dozen.
The whole narrative of somebody committing suicide for a stupid political cause is so out there. And especially when they say that two people do it at the same time, like at Columbine, where the Klebold and Harris went into a suicide pact and decided to end their lives for some and I don't even know what their cause was. They were just thought they'd just have some fun blowing up a school or shooting up. And so they wanted to do a suicide pact just to get their thrills of blowing the heads off some random kids at a high school. See, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Two people wouldn't. And with 9/11, they told us that 19 people signed a suicide pact, and all of them went through with it. None of them backed out. Even though the whole plan was crazy, they were going to fly some airplanes into some steel buildings. I mean, most of them would have said, hey, I don't think our planes are going to penetrate that building. I think we're just going to fall to the sidewalk below and we're just going to do no damage. I'm having second thoughts about this. But none of them had second thoughts. They all knew that their airplanes would penetrate that building and bring it down. And that's impossible. 19 people... And they've got us thinking that this is possible. It's not possible.
We were also told not to spend too much time on 9/11, but on the very day it happened, I said, well, they've got to show us videos from the airports of these guys actually boarding the planes they're alleged to have hijacked. Otherwise, nobody's going to believe it.
Yeah.
No, they never showed us that. They showed one brief clip of what they claimed were a couple of the hijackers at a connecting flight. In Portland, Maine, expecting us to believe that they drove to Portland, Maine to catch a connecting flight on a way to a major hijacking. And that clip, by the way, shows him getting cash out of an ATM machine.
Then I want to cut in here because I want to just emphasize Fake Nukes Phil has a BitChute channel, of course, where he does all his hoaxery, exposery. And one of his best commenters is a very, very old fakeologist named Cave Monk Dave. And you should really pay attention to Fake Nukes Phil's comments because Cave Monk Dave, who used to be on the Hoaxbusters call back in the day with Chris Kendall, he really has this interesting comment that, let me just read it here. They are overplaying their hand. Their problem is that everything we've been seeing play out over the last 20 years are plans that they made decades before, even before the internet was conceived. And yet they are still trying to carry out all these already laid plans and deceptions, even though they are being exposed in real time by people like Phil, myself, by Lynn. It's like you were walking around the streets of Washington, D.C. in around 1820 or so. You would have absolutely no way or frame of reference to see or know that you're walking around on streets that have been carefully crafted into so many sun-worshipping, Luciferian, satanic, Freemasonic, Kabbalah symbols that were even built by the Freemasons. The very most important thing to consider when discovering that these symbols exist and that they are physical evidence is that the Freemasons planned and built all of these symbols into the streets of Washington long before even cameras were invented. So they never dreamed anyone would be able to photograph these symbols, let alone long before airplanes were conceived, which would allow someone to fly over and photograph their symbols, and of course, long before an internet would come to be for people to share and expose their symbols, the physical evidence, worldwide. Mm-hmm. So, what do you think of that? Do you think all these events are pre-planned so far in advance that they never figured they'd be busted like we are today in real time?
Well, they kind of know that the truth is self-censoring. And even though we can expose these things in real time, they also know that nobody cares. Nobody cares. And also they control the internet and they can control the algorithms. And so they know that we're not getting any views.
On social media, but we have our own sites. But the question is, can they get to our sites? Can they find my site, which has always been a challenge? And by the way, I normally stream on Twitter. Twitter just locked down their live streaming. You have to pay for it as of, I guess, today. So I'm not on Twitter tonight, which is why FakoTube is more important than ever. That's my own video platform. The only challenge is finding it, but I'm not on Twitter streaming tonight as I have been for years because they finally cut it off and you have to pay. So
Elon Musk turned out to be just another cheap grifter, is that right?
Well, no, you got to pay for it. I have no problem with paying for bandwidth. I mean, obviously, maybe the CIA or whoever is funding Twitter before has had enough, and now they want people to pay. And since if we're going to pay, we may as well pay on our own platform is the way I look at things. So I'm not live streaming there. So anyway, that's Cave Monk Dave saying that. And
I agree with his
I thought that was great. He also says, as obvious as it gets, the predictive programming for the PSYOP has been laid for years. It's more likely that every single person at that location was an agent or crisis actor than even one single person was just an average real citizen. I wonder how many times they all rehearsed this before they turned the cameras on. You know that they're showing us is not the first take. This is no more real than the fake stage assassination attempt of Reagan, Kennedy, or Lincoln. So isn't that, that's an interesting concept. So he agrees with the closed set idea.
Mm-hmm.
And the cast of thousands. All they need is a cast of dozens.
What do you think,
cast
Phil?
Of hundreds.
Do you think it was a closed set, maybe?
The Las Vegas event, I believe, was a hybrid event. I believe that there was actual ticket holders in the crowd because I saw the ushers with flashlights, and they were in the crowd making sure that nobody stampeded over each other.
Okay.
And that's because not everybody was in on the hoax.
Okay.
And so they do make hybrid events where the unaware citizen is there thinking that they're at a rally, but then they're being used as extras later. I didn't really see a big, large image of the crowd there at the Trump rally. So it could actually have been a very, secluded set. Yeah, it could. It could have been different than Vegas. I'm kind of thinking the January 6th was much like Las Vegas. There's a lot of real Trump supporters that were there.
Yes.
They just really didn't know what was going on
at the Capitol.
The 200 crisis actors at the lead were leading the charge into the Capitol, and they were actors, obviously, and some of the regular Trump supporters just kind of followed them in because the police were letting them in, and so they would say, well, maybe I'll just step on in here. They're letting us in. And so in these events, I do believe there is hybrids where average citizens are involved.
And listen to the rally, right?
At this Trump event, it could have been – I didn't really see a wide-angle panning of the – you know what I found interesting is that Vincent Fuchsia guy was there, the guy that some people were claiming was – JFK Jr. He was right behind Trump in the stands, right near where that guy got killed, the guy that got shot in the head. Oh, and his His name is Corey. What was it? Corey Compatori.
So he got
two C's.
33.
Yeah, CC. That's a 33.
Yeah.
And so he was the one fatality. And so there's the hoax code right there.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Donald Trump was asking for his shoes. He didn't want to get into the car until he found his shoes.
More Masonic shoe tributes.
Yeah, and so that's the shoe code right there.
And Willard pointed that out in the comments here at fakeologist.blog. So he was the one that talked about the shoe thing. Richard Benedict pointed that out. I think that's Willard. And... Winterwatch.net, Russ Winters, he was the one that put a post just recently about how shoes are always in staged deceptions as both calling cards and black magic. The only thing left to do now is to wait for the other shoe to drop. I like that.
Yeah.
Hold on, we got John the Beggar calling in.
1 minute, John 17 seconds.
Hey, John, how you doing tonight?
Pretty good. John the Beggar here from the South Shore of the St. Lawrence Seaway. I was listening to you guys, and I don't think anything was real at Las Vegas, because I noticed this way back then when all the paper or the plastic cups, the paper plates and everything from concessions was on the ground, and you looked at it in pictures of it, there was no food residue or beverage residue at all. Not a bit. And I used to work in an arena, and I know when people drop stuff in that, there's stuff everywhere. I even used to drive a Zamboni at one time, fakeologist.
I love it. That's the thing that cleans the ice in hockey rinks. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And it's well, just, but I
speak,
I looked
John
there,
the Beggar, and speak to the Trump event. What do you think?
Oh, it's totally fake. When I saw it, I thought it was. And now that I know that that was a movie set, I have absolutely no doubt that they probably even took a couple of takes.
Yeah, that was a good idea from Cave Monk Dave. So, yeah, okay. Do you think anyone believes this or just normies?
Oh, yeah, people believe this. My brother-in-law, when I talked to my sister today, she had called me up and asked me to call her back. I said, what did you think of that staged event? And she said, oh, no, it was real. And my brother-in-law came in the background, and he was mad at me for saying it was fake. You should have things better off to do. Set up your voicemail on your cell phone. You can't even do that. You have no business looking at this stuff. And
wow.
Oh, he was furious. And I finally had to cut my sister off and say, well, I'm just going to say goodnight to you, both of you, and hang up because I didn't want to have a family feud. But I never saw anyone so mad. One time when I told him that COVID was fake, and he was saying the face mask save lives, and I said, no, I've had hazmat training. That stuff can't stop anything. And one time, and he really got hot at me then, too. But
thing to divide us, isn't it? I didn't bring it up at the pool today with the family, because why bother? They were just busy getting their download from CNN and MSNBC. I don't even know what those guys are saying on those channels. I didn't even waste my time.
I had a completely different experience, because I was sitting in a very nice restaurant down the road from me called the Bavarian Brauhaus, enjoying some fine German brews and a Cordon Bleu, watching the Orioles getting beaten by the Yankees, and it probably was a rigged game.
As
and
usual.
Then all of a sudden, at like the bottom of the eighth inning, they switched to Fox live coverage of the event, and that's all we saw for the next hour or two. And sitting next to me at the bar was a crowd of younger people, I guess in their 20s and 30s, three African-American guys with their girlfriends, having a good time, you know, enjoying the food and drinking. And when the television suddenly switched to this story in real time, right, like it wasn't prepared in advance, and they turned to each other and started looking at each other and asked each other, what do you think, fake or real? And then they turned to me and said, what do you think? I was wearing my Osama bin Laden t-shirt. It's got a picture of bin Laden on it. And I didn't get all excited about it. I just shrugged my shoulders and said, well, it wouldn't be the first time, would it, that they staged a fake assassination. They've done that a lot. And they were very agreeable to the idea. Of course, these people would have been Trump haters anyway. See, that's the interesting thing about this. You've got millions of Trump haters out there, Democrats, and maybe even some Republicans.
Trump and, derangement syndrome, right?
Yeah, on. Trump derangement syndrome. And there's no way that they would be hostile to us suggesting that this whole thing was fake or staged so that they can insist that Trump is in on it. I don't have any problem with that, do you?
Yeah, it's a tough one for the Trump derangement syndrome people. That's for damn sure. They're losing their candidate. He's sort of fallen down by the wayside.
He's irrelevant, right.
And now here we go again. They have the choice between basically an impossible choice for these people. It must be tough
really
on them.
It really struck me, though, how these younger people, not so young, I guess in their 30s maybe.
Yeah. Are they engaged, though, with the political process in your mind?
Not deeply, no. No, they had a kind of rather bemused attitude.
Yeah.
But they didn't find anything objectionable at all about my suggesting that assassinations were routinely faked.
Okay, good.
So something about the coverage on – and then they started complaining about Fox and how, you know, they didn't trust anything on Fox, and everything Fox did was so repetitious over and over and over again. And how do we get the baseball game back? Because we never knew how the game ended. You know, they interrupted it with this.
There's so much sport on now. There's soccer and baseball, and they don't want this politics. They don't even care about the political show. I don't think
people are fed up with politics. They hate it. They're done. They are.
It's almost like the Challenger disaster. Even a Challenger disaster didn't get people more interested in NASA, or it didn't work. Is this assassination simulation going to work, do you think, guys? Phil?
I don't think. People will forget in 2 weeks about it.
Right.
Something as big as an assassination attempt? Really? It's going to be gone in 2 weeks? Wow.
Yeah, I remember. Well, I can kind of relate to Reagan back in 1981. I think Reagan got a boost in popularity from it, and I think we'll probably see the same thing. Trump will get a boost in popularity from it, but that'll be it.
Well, it's much like the Pope John Paul II assassination. I think that was staged too.
Yeah, somebody told me that too, and I totally think so. Yeah, I haven't taken the time. There's so many. I mean, I think all these assassinations are fake. I did a little thing on the – oh, John, because you had called in about – were you the one that called in about General Custer a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I dug into that a little bit. I looked at the photos of him and his wife, and I didn't really see anything that really stood out to me. So then I went to the Battle of Little Bighorn, and I wanted to see what kind of photographs were taken there. And I learned that the first photographs weren't taken until 13 months later. It wasn't until 13 months after the battle that the first photographer showed up to take photos. And all he took, and the only thing he captured were piles of bones of horses. The horse bones had lasted for 13 months out there in the open field. But there were no bones of soldiers out there or Indians. And so I said, this is strange. How come the army or the cavalry didn't send out photographers immediately to document that battlefield? Because they wanted to, you know, learn the lessons of the failure of Little Bighorn. But obviously the cavalry did not do any investigation whatsoever. They didn't photograph it till 13 months later. And there were no corpses out there. Supposedly they put a headstone at where each soldier had fallen, but they can't prove that because they didn't take any pictures of the battlefield. They don't know where any of the soldiers fell.
I'd love to have some ground penetrating radar go out there and see what's in the ground by those headstones.
Yeah, you know, it's time to go up there and start digging up some graves.
one historical fact.
I think it was just an excuse so they could lay cannonballs on women and children, I think, from the Indians and drive them out.
Yeah, well, that could be
it.
There
was a little more involved in it than that, though, because lately I've been reading some of Custer's own writings and also writings about him at the time. George Armstrong Custer was aiming to get the Democratic nomination to run for vice president, which I think their convention was going to be held in St. Louis. And I believe before he even went out to that battle, he had already purchased train tickets.
Okay.
To make it to St. Louis for the convention, because what the plan was is he was going to score a big victory over the Sioux, hop the train and arrive at the Democratic convention to cheering crowds and be nominated for either president or vice president through acclamation by the mob. That was his plan. He was very ambitious. And Little Bighorn was really going to be a stepping stone for him into the presidency.
Well, you know, if you read Miles Mathis on this, he and I have the same opinion that not much happened there. There was another massacre, supposedly, a few days later. And I think it was all just mostly stuff that they said, and then they could move the Indians off. And a lot of these soldiers were supposed to be Irish Catholic soldiers, immigrants to the country. And if you say, they killed those men, and we killed the Indians back, we care about them, because they were becoming a growing political force. And I think that was another thing.
Well, they use it for Indian victimhood now. The whole General Custer story is used to
reparations.
Because here in Palm Springs, where I live, the Indians rule over us. We just built a whole big, huge Indian cultural center in downtown, right by the city hall. And, you know, it's way too – and nobody goes there. Nobody cares about Indian culture.
that'll be a real tourist attraction.
Well, they care about the casinos, though. Jack Abramoff figured that out.
Yeah. They built it right on the most expensive property in Palm Springs. They built it, and nobody goes there. And, you know, it's obvious that the Indians rule over us. They if you're a member of the tribe, you get $36,000 a month. Because, you know, they have three casinos down here. $36,000 a month if you're a tribe member.
Didn't they own the land and lease it to people for it?
Oh,
I know they provide you your water, don't they?
Well, supposedly our water is well water, but they're using this incident back in 1920 where Frank Bogert, one of our mayors, illegally burned the Indians off the land, and he burned their houses, and so that's how downtown Palm Springs was built. But it never happened. I mean, I've lived here my entire life. It's only in recent years have they come up with this story about Frank Bogert. It's like, oh my gosh, you're just making this up.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but they're allowed to make it up because the Indians rule over us. And so they can make up whatever they want.
Well, I think the Sioux did get a raw deal, the Lakota out there after the Battle of the Little Bighorn. They own some land, and there would be billions of dollars worth of gold came out of there. And Crazy Horse and Sitting Bull, I think all they asked for was $5 million and a relocation. Oh. And I think they actually did get shafted on that one.
I'm thinking the Indians were involved in the hoax, because the Indians had to have known that there were no dead bodies out there. they can only prove dead horses. I found like four piles of dead horses, big, huge bones. And it's like, well, they could only prove dead horses. So the Indians were in on it. It's like, you know that nobody died out there. And so it's it's a complex situation.
Well, let's get back to Trump. What do you think is the ramification here? I've got Armin Rhee, who is in our audio chats regularly, including today. And here's what he thinks is going to happen, and I'll get your takes in a minute. He says, I will risk a possible scenario similar to what I presented this afternoon in the audio chat. That's FAC 1434. By the way, make sure you guys download that and listen. It's on your favorite podcast app. He said, this will push a change to United States government type. After the election, there may be a year or two of chaos and confusion with government taking oppressive measures left and right. Eventually, a new type of government will emerge to save America via revolution. This may certainly have ramifications all over the world. This hoax may be the trigger for a political pandemic, such as COVID's was a health pandemic. I personally think Phil is right. In 2 weeks, people will forget about this. Do you think this is going to be a 9/11 event?
I don't think so.
Don't forget
about it in short order.
What do you think?
No, it's a setup to get everybody to tune into the Republican convention tomorrow.
So this isn't big enough to make huge changes?
No.
Well, because he wasn't actually killed.
Right.
Right. They didn't work a death into the narrative. If they'd have actually worked a real death into the narrative, then it might have a more decisive impact. But for me, it's nothing but advertising for the Republican National Convention tomorrow. And now everybody will tune in to hear his speech, right?
Oh, yeah. He said he's going to press on to Wisconsin. Is that where it is?
Yeah, Milwaukee.
Yeah, Wisconsin.
It's a real dump. Why don't you show that picture of him raising his fist as the Secret Service agent? I mean, that is an image. That's an icon for T-shirts and coffee mugs and bumper stickers.
There's going to be posters and T-shirts and everything
else
with that.
Yeah.
And people will be saying they went after him and all sorts of stuff. And it's just more BS.
It's more BS. By the way, I don't send out emails anymore manually for each show. What I do now, so anyone can participate, if you go to fakeologist.blog, that's my blog site, anytime there's a show on, the latest post will be the current show, without the audio, of course, because we're not done. So as you can see on the screen here, we're on FAK 912. I've already got Fake Nukes Phil BitChute channel link here, Phil's email, Lynn's email. And you can leave a comment by replying under Leave a Reply. And if you're subscribed to all new posts, you will get an email automatically about whatever show is live. So just letting people know to go to fakeologist.com/blog, and make sure you sign up to the email, enter your email address to subscribe to our mail list, and then you'll get every post as it comes on. So I just thought I'd make that show note. So for today's show, I do have a picture right here, and I'll show it to you. That is the iconic photo that Lynn is talking about. Similar to Iwo Jima, I think. And I guess it's
staged,
not
also.
Yeah.
Iwo Jima was staged also.
Yeah. Well, let me just update this picture here so you can see it. This is the iconic photo. Les Luthor says, if you look closely at the red paint marks on Trump's face, it forms a double cross. The double cross is the X.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
This is sort of the symbol of, I guess, the hoax people out of England and or out of the PSYOPs division in the United States. So if you look closely, the double cross. So much content to look at. It's all over the place.
Just some remarks on Biden.
Okay.
I want to remind people that the last year of Woodrow Wilson's presidency, he was stricken. Well, he had a stroke and was pretty much confined to bed or to a wheelchair. He was pretty useless almost the entire last year of his presidency, but they kept it a secret. And basically, they had his wife, Edith Wilson, attending to him in much the same manner that Jill Biden manages President Joe. Although we think President Joe might be some actors, some different actors.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely think he is. In fact, there's a group of doctors. They have a program, and they were arguing that if an old person like that fell as many times as he did, he'd be breaking bones.
This is actually impossible. This is actually a pretty good picture of this crabapple face guy right
here.
That'll
be a T-shirt for sure, yeah.
You like that one? Someone was comparing it to the serpent of NASA, you see? The NASA image here?
Yeah, the forked tongue.
Yeah.
The overall agenda here, if you think about it, you don't have to think too hard about it. It's kind of obvious. Mm-hmm. What have they been telling us for the last 2-3 years? Here they've got this character in there, Biden, who they are proud to show us is senile, suffering from senile dementia of one form or another.
What do you think of this picture, by the way? Did you see this?
Well, I think they're trying to normalize dementia, too, and many diseases. They're trying to normalize it.
Right.
The blood is running the wrong way. The bullet went – his hair should have a blood splatter. His hair doesn't have any blood splatter on it. The blood is going the wrong way. The bullet was traveling the other direction. And it's not actively bleeding. See, Trump never had to apply pressure to his ear. He would have had to have applied pressure to his ear to stop the bleeding, but he never did. He just let it – he just showed it, never applied pressure to it. So that means it's not an active wound. That means it's just a fake blood situation.
The institutions Moulange. Themselves.
Moulange. What is it called? Moulage?
Moulage. Yeah.
Moulage.
Well, I don't even think they did moulage. It's just old-fashioned fake blood. It's just
a squib. They could have used a squib, right?
Yeah, squib.
Squib, yeah.
The squib that I remember the best is from the movie The Sting. One of the last scenes in The Sting where Robert Redford has to pretend he's been shot. They stage a fake assassination. And Robert Redford, they give him a little capsule and he has to bite on it so it looks like blood's pouring out of his mouth. This was a movie that was made in like 1970-something, The Sting, with Paul Newman and Robert Redford, where they actually show how to fake an assassination convincingly, enough to convince a gangster. So it's not a new idea, but the overall agenda, they want Americans realizing that the presidency is an empty suit. It's just a shell. Just as we now know that the Congress is really just an empty shell of an institution. It no longer represents real power. The real power is manifest behind the scenes. And these public institutions like the White House or the Congress, they're a sham and a hoax. And I think they want people to realize that. I think that's the subtext.
I agree. I think the Biden thing has made it more obvious than ever that it's just a sham and a hoax. So I'm with you there. All right. Anything else from you, John the Beggar, before we let you go?
No, nothing else. But thank you for letting me on, and it's good to hear you all together.
Thank you, and tune in tomorrow. We might all be back again. We'll probably have tons more content tomorrow if everyone feels like coming back. So come back.
Okay, I'll give a call tomorrow.
All right. Take care, John the Beggar. Buzzing Fret says you're a great caller, by the way.
Thank you.
Just go to shortfake.com/chat. There's a lot of chat over there, too.
Okay.
I want to make something clear here, and I think people probably realize this already.
Yeah.
Their decision to put in a front man, whether it's when they install a president, like a Hillary Clinton or a Donald Trump or a Joe Biden, there are specific agendas that actor is designed to sell. It's pretty clear that only a President Trump could have pulled off the COVID psyop. There is no way that a President Hillary Clinton could have gotten those thousands upon thousands of big, tough MAGA Republican guys to shut down their businesses, lock down their families, put on a mask, roll up their sleeves for a mandatory mRNA experimental shot, stand by quietly as the president forked over billions of dollars socialist style to Pfizer, Moderna, and J&J under Operation Warp Speed and turn over the government of the country to Anthony Fauci and a bunch of unelected bureaucrats. There is no way a Hillary Clinton could have accomplished that. They had to put Trump in at the moment they did to sell it to all these right-wingers. And that's really, if they're going to put Trump in there again, then clearly their strategy is going to be to manipulate the right, to perpetrate some really twisted psyop and get all of these Trump cult followers to go along with it. Because they can't count on a Democrat president to get all these Republicucks to go along with things. And that's really been the funk. That's what we mean by people say, well, what is Trump's real role here? Well, he is President Judas Goat. He's a Judas Goat. I don't know. Do we need to explain to people what the function of the Judas Goat is on a farm or a ranch?
Well, go ahead, but I know, but maybe others don't.
Well,
go ahead.
The Judas goat says to all the sheep and the goats, follow me.
Yeah, follow me to the slaughterhouse, yeah.
Right, and says all the right things, all the things you want to hear to get you to follow him. And as I say, there's no way a President Hillary could ever have pulled off the COVID because all the right-wingers would have said, no way. But Trump himself has made the argument that if he'd been reelected in 2020, nobody would be resisting the shot because they love him so much, they'd all take his word that the shot was for their own good. And they'd all roll up their sleeves and take that shot. And there's a crucial insight in Trump's observation there. He knows the role that he's been designated to play. He knows what policies he's been delegated to pull off, to get over with. And there are policies that certain Democrats couldn't get away with. And the same thing works in reverse as well. There are certain things that the Republicans could never get away with. I'll tell you something the Republicans can get away with that Democrats can't. Red flag laws and gun control. Right? I mean, Richard Nixon, who was supposed to be Mr. Super Anti-Communist, out of nowhere, he opened up relations with Red China and recognized them. No Democrat could have gotten away with that. They would have been accused of being soft on communism at the height of the Cold War. So this is the role, the designated, delegated role that these politicians play. They have to sell an agenda to their constituency that otherwise their constituency would never go along with. They've got to sell it. And so if they put Trump back in there, or Biden, or RFK Jr., you'll have to be asking yourself, what demographic are they trying to seduce here? What specific demographic are they trying to manipulate and brainwash that wouldn't go along with any other candidate?
What do you think, Phil?
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, and they get that because the right wingers wouldn't have gone along with COVID at all if Hillary was doing it. It would have been civil war. Yeah, but with Trump, you know, a lot of people just went along with it and didn't fight it. And that's exactly how they do it. They play upon our leaders and they get us to lower our defenses and then we go along with it. And that's what the Bush did with the Patriot Act after 9/11. We went along with it, even though it was this huge, liberty crushing, spying, totally give up your freedoms thing, but
give up your freedom, take off your shoes at the airport. You got it.
Yeah, because Bush told us it was the right thing to do, and so it's totally how it works. It's totally how it works, and so I make the prediction if Trump wins the election, it's just going to be bad news for us because he's just going to finish the job on those of us who kind of have right wing values. His job is to destroy us. His job is to make sure that nobody can ever talk about immigration ever again. And if anybody ever talks about immigration, we'll be labeled as a crazy Trump supporter and immediately shut down. And so the whole immigration subject will be shut down after Trump. It'll be open borders after this. Total. they won't even pretend anymore.
No, that will be the end of the United States as we know it, if it hasn't happened already.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's already, we're already past the point of no return. It's already over.
It looks like it's over for Europe, doesn't it? Although, there are holdouts like Viktor Orban in Hungary. I think he's kind of kept held back like a dam, this wave of immigrants, at least with respect to Hungary. But you're right. Europe has pretty much surrendered. I'm told London doesn't look anything like it looked 20 years ago.
None of the capital cities do, I would say.
And that's what they want for us. That's really what they want for us.
You were called more into the political arena than whatever you expected. That this would be a season of great promotion of telling people in these old churches, like trying to reform America again, bringing back America. Because the Lord told me, he said, I am not done with America. Amen. He said, there's going to be a new wave of patriotism coming out. And that's whenever I saw Trump and I saw a red wave coming out of Michigan. And then I saw Oklahoma and there was embers of people and they were all on these. They had torches all throughout Oklahoma and they were raising up these torches that looked like fire. And they were bringing forth a new patriotism upon the nation. And it was coming. It was being birthed and it just kept spreading like fire all throughout America, all throughout, and I saw Trump rising up, and then I saw an attempt on his life. This bullet flew by his ear, and it came so close to his head that it busted his eardrum. And I saw he fell to his knees during this time.
Yeah, who is this clown?
I couldn't get his name.
Is he a script writer for Hollywood?
Yes, he's obviously he was obviously in the script room. They're calling him a prophet, but no, I call him a guy that was in the script room.
Yeah, and I think so.
And he's a born again Christian guy, but.
Well, they're still going to keep playing this Trump is a Christ figure, right? I mean, that's they're not done with that, are they? They could make a martyr out of him at any time. He would serve their purpose. I want to just broach one subject before we depart here that I've seen turning up like a bad penny on social media. And that's this idea that if Trump should somehow or other depart from the scene, there are people pushing the idea of a President Michael Flynn. Have you seen this?
I think we've heard just about everyone. By the way, the guy's name is Brandon Briggs, BB. There we go.
Oh, the double B. Yeah.
Let's just see. Here we go. Okay.
And you see, there's the photo of the bullet. I kid you not. They're telling us that this is an actual photo of the bullet in mid-flight.
Impossible. What a miracle!
Impossible. What? I'd rather go. I'll go with a chemtrail before a bullet. What do you think?
Right.
I'm giving that a chemtrail. It's a chemtrail. If without the chemtrail, the bullet would have probably hit him or whatever.
Donald Trump could have caught that bullet between his teeth.
Right.
Yeah, so this...
The magic bullet. That's what we should start calling that, the magic bullet.
Yeah,
that's the new
real,
magic bullet. It's
that's the real
be, yeah.
magic. That's the real magic bullet, yeah. More will come in the days to come. Once we start hearing from the family members of this guy, that the one person that lost his life, we're going to start hearing from the family members, and we're going to start seeing some duping delight and other, stuff like that. And so, in the days to come, this thing will start falling apart and it'll just.
Does this guy not have the same sort of facial shape as another lone so-called crazy gunman? How about, what's his name?
There's no bowl cut. At least he's not wearing a bowl cut.
No bowl cut. We have the same triangular type jawline like Adam Lanza. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Adam Lanza.
On the No Agenda show today, they kept raising the prospect that this guy was going to be described as another one of these lone nut incels. But I tell you, if we can confirm that this truly is him in that BlackRock infomercial, oh, wow, that's fantastic. That'd be devastating. Like, the more you can find out about these patsies, I guess I don't know if I should use the term patsies or fall guys, whoever they're blaming the event on. It certainly, I think it gives us greater greater insight into the psychological manipulation going on. But as I say, the big thing here is once they're dead, the prospect rises that they may not have even been real people. But since we do have this guy on video, apparently, doing an infomercial for BlackRock, I would like to pursue his identity a little further and find out, you know, is this guy really a career crisis actor? Because I always wonder about the individuals who are chosen to play the role.
I put live. It says live. 20 seconds.
Okay. Yeah.
Here's your buddy, Brandon Biggs. He's all choked up now. His prediction came true.
Okay, here
as he sits in his BMW here. This is yesterday.
Hmm. Yeah, you have one mic.
Hello, everybody. Who's watching?
Two people watching.
Two?
Oh, somebody said hi.
Hi. Yeah.
Everyone loves a prophet.
Okay, well, this is where we are. Did you everybody just see that it just happened? They try to take him out. I told everybody.
You should probably wait till more people come in.
Come on, I want another prediction. Okay, let's go. You're on a roll, buddy.
Right. Yeah, but your chat's full. You're good.
Okay. Hello, everybody. How are you doing? I can't believe it. Well, there's part of it, you know, whenever I told the Lord had me last night interceding for President Trump. And he said, Brandon, they will do it today. You must intercede. And I was up all night praying for him, and I was interceding. I mean, it was heavy intercession. And he told me, the prophecy that you gave about the ear will come to pass. And the bullet grazed his ear. It busted his ear. Just like I told everybody, I saw blood flowing down his face. And the Lord said he would be spared. And when this happens, he would become radically born again because the Lord spared his life today. And he would become baptized in the Holy Ghost, radically saved by the power of God. And I'm telling you, great revivals come into America.
Sorry, is he giving up the horse and the stripper?
Yeah.
Is anyone else broken up about the death of Richard Simmons? I mean, that was, I think that was more sad.
He picked a bad day to fake his death because his death gets a footnote in the newspaper.
And Brenda of 90210, who didn't love Brenda? Another one.
Oh, yeah.
It was a bad day Simmons to die. Right now,
the question everybody's asking about Richard Simmons is, where did the headband go? Apparently, there are a lot of people out there that remember Richard Simmons wearing a sweatband around his forehead. And whereas we're told that on Google Images, there's not a single image of him wearing a headband. Now, he had a long career.
Yeah, right? I don't care about that. I only remember him on Howard Stern, and Howard Stern, you know, was the king of radio, of course, back in the day, and he was always making fun of Richard Simmons being gay, so not confessing to it. So those are my memories of Richard Simmons, but I just thought I brought it up as a bit of a joke. So I'm not too concerned about Richard Simmons, honestly. And I don't want to go down the Mandela path either with the
headband. Well, actually, we found a picture of an old VHS tape from early in his career, probably one of the earliest he made, and he's wearing a headband. So,
all right.
You know, my reply to people on this is, if the guy wore a headband once in his life, you know what I'm saying? You've disproven the Mandela effect right there. But why is it so many people claim to remember him wearing a headband? Well, some people are saying it's because there was a Halloween costume.
I don't want to go there. I don't care about Mandela bullshit. I mean, that is just total psyop nonsense.
It's trivialization of memory, of course.
Yeah. I don't care enough about Richard Simmons to think about anything. All I remember, the guy's a... I never saw him fat. Was he ever fat? I mean, that was his whole thing, that he lost all his weight.
No, he didn't manage to stay in shape, that's for sure.
No, but he was supposed to be this super fat guy that wanted to kill himself, and then he became a fitness guru.
That was his...
Do you remember him, Phil, back in the day?
I think I vaguely remember a story like that where he came back from being a fat kid that he was teased in school, and he became a fitness guru.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so...
Okay, well, it looks like we've been doing about an hour. Do you guys have anything more to add to tonight's expose, or is this going to keep going on all week? How long do you think this is going to last in the media? I don't think it's going to turn anything I don't think it's going to become a 9/11 event where they create a Homeland Security or anything like that. But what do you guys think? You want to give one last prediction for the next few months?
Well, I'll probably find some more stuff this week. Like I said, once the witnesses start giving interviews, I'll find some duping delight. And so I'll probably cover it for a few more days here. I want to hear from the victim family of the guy that got killed. I'm probably going to, let it die on the wayside. I'm not going to follow it like I follow Gaza. I mean, this Gaza thing, I am putting the stake in it. I am making it so that it never rises ever again, because this has been going on for 80 years and it needs to be buried and it needs to be put away. And so because they're making a lot of mistakes, and they made a lot of mistakes this week in Gaza. And it's clearly I was able to prove that they're using rubber mannequins in two of the videos, beyond doubt. I mean, these mannequins don't have any bones. They showed us some pictures of severed foots and severed arms. Well, see, that's in my wheelhouse. When they show us that, I can prove that there's no bone inside that thing. We should be seeing the tibia bone. We should be seeing the femur. We should be seeing the radius bone. These are major bones in the human body, and they just don't. In Gaza, they don't even try to even replicate. They can't. And so it's because these rubber babies don't have bones inside them. It's a slam dunk. They're using rubber mannequins, and the thing is fake.
So you think Gaza is? You think the Trump thing is just gonna fade away? And but you Gaza's number one for you still. Okay.
And you know what? This Gaza thing's probably gonna go on for about 5 or 10 years because they milked these things for a lot of money for a lot of years, and so it'll be the gift that keeps giving. And, Trump thing, it'll give him a boost in popularity. He'll probably, obviously go on to get the nomination, and he'll probably go on to, I don't know, I imagine he's going to go on to be president, but that'll just be the death nail. Yeah. It won't be anything to celebrate. It'll just be, that means he's just.
We're going to get Kamala. I think the best thing they can do to make a good plot twist is let Biden get in. And then get rid of them and just bring in Kamala. I think they're really going full blast corporations and everything with this DEI. So it doesn't matter what your qualifications or not qualifications. Let's make sure we get women and minorities and every strange super minority under the sun in places of so-called power. I just think that will fit their agenda way better than another Trumpy. You see, I think the main problem is just age. I think if you look at the actuarial tables, when you hit 80, your number, your chances of making it to the next year just go down exponentially. So I just think they'd rather maybe put in somebody who has some staying power. It's just straight up age. I'm not against old people, but come on, everyone needs to step down at a certain age. Retirement age is for a reason,
Yeah.
I know people like to work and keep going, but come on. You got to pass the baton and let somebody younger do whatever the job is that you're taking up. So.
But we're deep into clown world now, though. Oh, nothing would make any sense after a while. I think that's the idea. To create an utterly incoherent world, and people have to somehow or other. What happens after a while is people get so burned out by it that they become totally detached.
Yeah, they withdraw. Yeah, they withdraw.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm bored with the Trump thing already, and we've only had it for 2 days. It just
because it's so predictable. It's so predictable.
Yeah. It was predictable. Phil, you really, this was a long crisis actor. I didn't listen to the audio. What the hell is she talking about?
Oh, she goes on forever.
yeah. She goes on about how she was so scared, but she smiles the entire time she's talking about how scared she was. And yeah, because you don't know how many shooters there are, and you don't know if you're going to be the next. And so, she's got duping delight. And yeah. That's not, it's, so it's just a very strange, another strange eyewitness account. And
all right, well, I really appreciate you guys breaking it down for me. If you guys have more to bring to the table for tomorrow, we could come back tomorrow, but it almost sounds like we ran out of steam on this one. It's really, it's no surprise to anyone. It's not that big of a story, even though the media would love it to be a big story, and I don't even know if fakeologists have the patience to keep talking about it. So we can try again tomorrow if you want. You guys just let me know by email if you got more stuff. Otherwise, we could just go back to our regular schedule programming.
What a lot of people will be focused on tomorrow is the opening session of that Republican convention in Milwaukee. And there's been a lot of talk about something called Project 2025, which is the Heritage Foundation's proposals for the next Trump administration. And I'm told, I haven't looked at anything in Project 2025. As you know, the Democrats are making an issue out of it because the argument is that if Trump is elected, he will appoint people to his cabinet from the Heritage Foundation, as previously he appointed them from the Federalist Society. One of the proposals, though, I'm told in Project 2025 is abolishing the Department of Homeland Security. And that's kind of radical, but I would support something like that. I'm for abolishing the Department of Homeland Security, the FBI, the CIA.
Department of Education, just about every federal department. Yeah, let's blow that thing up real good. All right, guys, Phil at fakeologist.com, Lynn at fakeologist.com. Phil is on BitChute. Tomorrow we may come back if we feel there's more to talk about, although I think we've blown this one out of the water. Nothing to see here. Carry on. It's bad hoax, bad stagecraft. And otherwise, we'll go back to fake babies with Phil on Wednesday and and Lynn on Tuesday. Lynn, maybe you can continue your history lessons. And
I'm always getting into historical revisionism, you know that, and there's plenty of it out there. We're the place to... Hey, fakeologist.com is the place to go if you're into history and historical revisionism.
Yeah, I like
especially
it.
Especially World War II.
Yeah, it's deep. All right.
I like to call it historical correctionism, because correctionism. They've already revised the history. We need to correct it back to the truth. And so I like to call it historical correctionism.
Yeah, I like that. I'm good with that. And don't forget, we did a big show this morning on the Discord. Join our Discord at shortfake.com/Discord. Our chat at shortfake.com/chat. And we've got a forums, fakeologistforums.com. We got a lot of content. And we really appreciate everyone that pays whatever they think this show is worth. $1, $2, whatever you think, $50. Thanks, everyone. Thank you, Phil. And thank you, Lynn. And we'll talk to you during the rest of the week.
Good. Yeah,
good
glad
evening.
To be here. Good all to right. see you, Lynn. Good to see you, Pickles.
Okay, all the best.
See you
thank you, everybody. Week. Have a good night, and we'll see all everyone right. Later. Take care. Yeah.